This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. For a look at this week's grain markets, I caught up with Arlen Suderman, market analyst for Water Street Solutions.
Well, we're looking at the after effects of the crop tour, which the market interpreted as confirming big crops out there. If you look at last week's action, the trade was focused entirely on that tour with a little bit of attention toward what's happening in Ukraine and Russia. But throughout the week, we saw November soybeans lose 10 cents and December corn lose a nickel. So it said the trade was basically seeing the results of the tour as confirming that we have a big crop out there. The question is, what is the size of that crop? As we move into this week now, we're starting to see some early yield results from the south and the southwestern part of the belt. Now, that's not a real indicator of where we're going to be in the Midwest on yield, but it does help set the psychological tone. And while it's too early to have a lot of numbers, what the traders are seeing in the social media from those areas are surprisingly good, better than expected, those types of terms. So that once again reaffirms to them that there's really no reason to doubt the big crop mentality, at least to this point. So we're continuing to sell off. We got the crop ratings that came out on Monday afternoon from USDA, and the corn rating went up again at a time of year when they normally go down. Here again, that's a pattern we see with big crops. The soybean rating actually declined a little bit, but it declined less than what most years do. And so when you look at a perspective of other years, it is the highest rating on record for this time of year for the soybean crop, even though the rating went down. So overall expectations of big crop, that's what's being factored into the market right now.
So basically these crops just keep looking better and better.
That's exactly right. Now, it's not a panacea, everything being wonderful out there. There are problem areas. But overall, it was a good growing season for the crop. And while it was largely dry through the month of July and into the early part of August, the temperatures were mild enough and there was enough subsoil moisture to carry the crop through in most areas. So the crops still have really good yield potential as a whole. And so that's what's being factored in right now as traders start to contemplate where we're going to put all this crop.
Now, you did mention that there are areas out there that are not so good. What would you say are the areas that are the worst off?
Well, the heat has been the most extreme in Kansas, which tends to rank about sixth in overall in production, to put a little bit of perspective in it, in the corn production. They've been having triple-digit heat. But early yields there have been pleasantly surprising and good. Other areas that are problems, Nebraska is a little bit below where they were a year ago. We have some problem areas in Indiana and Ohio, as well as southern Minnesota and northern Iowa, from excessive rains early in the growing season, followed by some dryness later as we got into July and August. So those are some of the problem areas. The garden spot tends to be Illinois, stretching over into parts of Missouri, where we're just hearing some yield checks that are just tremendous, unbelievable yields, the best I've ever had, in the mid-200s and higher. So there's a lot of good corn out there.
And I believe last year Illinois was the number one for soybean production, and it looks like we'll hopefully get to keep a hold of that title this year.
Very possibly. What it really is for the soybean crop is going to come down to is disease. Will the disease pop up? We know there are some areas where sudden death syndrome is showing up now, particularly some disease problem areas in western Illinois. So that's something that could still hit the soybean crop. At this point, we hope it's not widespread. We hope it's not significant over a large area. But that's still a possibility we can't rule out. If it's not a widespread problem, the crop is looking right now with the late season moisture we've got like it could be one for the record books.
That does seem to be the odd thing about this summer. Instead of drying out and farmers having to go out and do a rain dance or something, we're getting these timely rains.
We are. We would have liked to have had it a little bit sooner. It would have been a little less stress over it if we'd had it a little bit sooner, but they are coming, and they are coming late season when soybeans had the best chance to respond, and helping that corn crop finish out. So really, as we look at the crop tour, as we look at the crop ratings, as we look at the weather forecast, what fell already in the way of rain and what's in the forecast to fall, it's pretty hard to get bullish this market in the near term, and that's why we're seeing prices work lower.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. That's all for part one of this afternoon's farm show. Stay tuned for part two, coming up after this. USDA has raised its price forecast for beef and pork consumed at home this year. USDA now expects retail beef and veal prices to rise by 6.5% to 7.5% during 2014. Prices rose by 0.4% from June to July and have shot up 10.4% between July 2013 and last month. Retail pork prices in 2014 are also predicted to rise by 6.5% to 7.5%. Prices rose by 0.7% from June to July and have shot up 10.9% since July of last year. Low grain prices are affecting how many farmers do business. Nate Franzine is the vice chairman of the American Bankers Association's Ag and Rural Bankers Committee. Franzine said capital expenditures should be one of the first areas producers make adjustments in.
You know, in the recent years where they had high dollar grain prices, they've been able to make a lot of capital investments and update a lot of things. They're probably going to have to pull back on that pretty aggressively with the change in the environment. What we always recommend is don't pull back on things that will jeopardize production. You know, a farmer's equation is production plus price equals their income. Well, we know the price has gone down. Don't make decisions that make the yield go down as well. So, you know, you have to continue and maintain those investments, but the other areas that don't directly contribute to yield, you need to take a hard look at. And what are things that can be trimmed back? And, you know, there's multiple areas there for people to think about. Even family living, you know, in the good times we tend to take a little nicer vacation, and that's great, it's well-deserved, but when things tighten up, you might have to make some adjustments there as well.
Franzine said restructuring debt may also be helpful for producers.
How can we adjust their debt structure to protect them? And there's lots of things we can do. We're still at nearly record low interest rates. So what can we do to fix those interest rates for our farms so that they're protected when interest rates start to rise, which they will. We don't know when, but we know they will. The other thing I think right now that we can really do that has a lot of value to our farms is to re-amortize and maybe stretch out some of the payments life on loans. There is a cost to that long term, but I still think it's a very smart thing to be doing, especially with loans that allow for prepayment. You can always pay them off early. If you have a good year, you can always make 2 or 3 years worth of payments. But by stretching them out, you can get your payments a little lower, which frees up the cash flow you need to weather lower markets.
Nate Franzine, Vice Chairman of the American Bankers Association's Ag and Rural Bankers Committee. The weekly Illinois Crop and Weather Report was released. Widespread rain was received across Illinois last week, with some areas of localized flooding in the Southeast District. There were 4.4 days suitable for field work for the week ending in August 24th. Statewide, precipitation averaged 1.41 inches, 0.74 inches above normal. The average temperature was 77.4 degrees, 3.9 degrees above normal. Corn in the dough stage reached 93% compared to the 5-year average of 87%. Corn dented reached 48% compared to the 5-year average of 53%. Corn condition was rated at 82%, good to excellent. Soybeans setting pods reached 94% ahead of the 5-year average of 88%. Soybean condition was rated at 78%, good to excellent. Sorghum headed reached 90% and sorghum turning color reached 58%. Oat harvest was rated at 93% complete, behind the 5-year average of 98%. Pasture condition was rated at 2% very poor, 6% poor, 27% fair, 51% good, and 14% excellent. Topsoil moisture was rated at 2% very short, 13% short, 76% adequate, and 9% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply was rated at 2% very short, 21% short, 72% adequate, and 5% surplus. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.